Hi, my name is Sherry D'Souza from Recovering From Religion, and I took a left at the Valley.
I know we shouldn't have to scream that we're atheists, you know, we don't have non-astrologers and all that, but with the religious people taking over the world, I mean, we can either speak up or be pushed into a corner.
I'm proud to be an atheist, a skeptic, a non-believer, an infidel, a heathen, I call it how I see it. I say it's ignorance and you just call it faith, and unsubstantiated claims, that's something to be ashamed. I'm an atheist.
Hey, hey, coming at you live from beautiful BC and somewhere in Florida, this is Left of the Valley 2.0. My name is Kevin, and I just found out the neighborhood I had a meeting about the crazy person on the block, and then it's really weird they didn't invite me.
That happened to you too, huh?
I know, right? Joining me as usual is my team. Troy, my man, how you doing?
Oh, I'm here with Christmas bells on.
Oh. And of course, we have the amazing Helen. Helen, it's always a pleasure.
Hello, hello.
And just down the road from her, Brett Lee. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Good. How's it going?
Good. Welcome. Thank you so much for being on the show. Guys, we're going to have an interesting show today because our guest today is Courtney Hurd of the Q. Oh, my God. What's the
Q Drop podcast?
Q Drop.
Send the Q and on. I forget the name of the show.
Q Drop.
Courtney, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Courtney, maybe you'd be so kind to give us a quick bio as to who you are and what your show is. I know it's a bit of a big question, but you go ahead. The mic's all yours.
Blogging on my website, godlessmom.com, for way too long, since 2014 or something like that. Jeez. And just recently started the Q Drop podcast with my husband, and it basically tells the stories of relationships that have been affected by QAnon. And the reason why we started that is because my parents are down the QAnon rabbit hole, unfortunately.
This is personal. So for those of people that have never heard QAnon, what it is, and you've been living in the moon in a cave with fingers in your ears going la 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 la, QAnon is actually an American political conspiracy theory and political movement. It originated in the American far-right political sphere in 2017. QAnon centers on those fabricated claims made by an anonymous individual or individuals known as Q. The origin basically came from 4chan. There was a username Q Clearance Patriot that first appeared on the site's poll board on October 28th, 2017, posting a title, Calm Before the Storm, and it's been basically blowing up ever since. But you, Courtney, decided to do something very different with your show, because I know a lot of people have done podcasts as to the phenomenon of QAnon and trying to analyze what and what it is and what it's doing to the political landscape. But you decided to tell the stories of the people that have been affected and the families that have been affected by the phenomenon.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's, I mean, obviously it's something that's affecting me and my brother. We reading about it and connecting with other people who are experiencing the same things, we came to the realization that there's a lot of people out there like us. And a lot of the stories are really harrowing and just awful. And it is actively destroying families across the world. It's not even just North America anymore. And so we just thought, you know, these stories need to get told. These stories need to be out there. And that's why we started it, really.
Hmm. It's very interesting that, I mean, if there's one thing we can tell about our species, the revelation kind of came to me the other day that, you know, if there was an alien species that would land here, how would they describe the human race? And, you know, I think the best word to, we're storytellers.
Yeah.
You tell stories, you know, and unfortunately, when you tell stories, you don't necessarily tell the truth either, but you tell stories of what happened, how you feel about things. And this is one thing we do extremely well. And the whole Q phenomenon is interesting on that sense because it tells a story as well, even though it's a false one, and yet it has that powerful, powerful impact on our society.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because, like, you go through when you find out that somebody in your family or somebody that you care about a lot is into this stuff, Like, you go through these stages, and the initial stage is like obviously shock, and then you argue with them, right? Mm. Like you can't help it. You just like you have to argue with them about the things that they believe. And of course, like that happened with my brother and I, and we would send my parents, because the arguments always happened over email. We would send my parents like real evidence, you know, peer reviewed scientific sources that debunk the stuff that they believed. Eventually you come to the realization that that just doesn't work. They don't care. They don't care about the evidence for anything, or the reality of anything. What then you end up doing is you start considering why they're clinging to this despite seeing evidence to the contrary. Yeah. And you realize that it is these stories give them something. It gives each person something different, but it's all every single one of them is filling a void with this, some kind of a void.
There's this old adage of like in for a penny, in for a pound. And I think that explains or at least from my experience, that explains a lot, where people will start with like this wedge conspiracy, which seems somewhat realistic. And then it just goes deeper into the rabbit hole, and it gets to the point where they become so polarized around this overall narrative, is they just can't, they just can't not believe in it anymore. Because if I remember with Q, like after 2020, Q basically said, like the original Q said, like, we're done. The storm didn't happen. It's over. And then you just had like a whole bunch of other people just pick up the torch, yep, or whatever. And now there's like a whole bunch of different Qs with different sects and people, like multiple different conspiracies. And some are somewhat realistic and some of them are just completely bizarre.
It ended up like Jesus, you know, it's just like everybody kind of went their own way with it, you know?
Yeah. I was very disappointed when they finally could reveal who the supposed Q was, and it was not John Delancey. I was really, really disappointed.
Wait, you mean it wasn't Trump after all?
He had Q clearance.
I find the whole thing really interesting, because you live in Canada. So, you know, me and Brenly are Americans, and we are in this shit. We are in it, and we see
our governor
it from
believes
that
in
American
it,
so. Perspective, and the fact that it is. Oh yeah, our governor! Yay for us! Anyway,
sorry,
but like we're seeing it from those of us that live here, and to know that is because of the internet that has infiltrated other countries, and people are buying in, and they now as they think it's worldwide. It's very interesting. I'm curious, like, how did your parents get into Q and the conspiracy theories?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, it is rampant everywhere in the world. An interesting statistic is that the second largest group of QAnon believers is in Germany after the US.
Oh, really? God.
And yeah, and there's if, when you think about it, there's good reason for that. There's
really?
So the, no. The German people have an inherent distrust of authority because of what happened in yes. World War II. So they're already like anti-establishment. They have distrust of authority. And then you have the people who used to live in Eastern Germany. The wall only fell in 1989, right? You still have lots of people who were basically controlled by the government of East Germany. And that's how they grew up. So now it's like when the government comes to you and says, okay, it's time to have a vaccine, immediately they're like, we can't trust you, right? So that's why there's a bunch of QAnon adherents in Germany. But as far as Canada goes, Canada has its own brand of crazy QAnon stuff. I don't know if you guys have heard of Queen Dedulo.
Yes,
Ravonna Dedulo.
Yes, Queen of Canada.
She runs.
I do not know who this person is. I've been living under an ignorant rock.
Okay, Helen, and this person is essentially in a nutshell, a conspiracy theorist as well. And she's been proclaiming herself Queen of Canada. Right? She thinks that, well, Queen Elizabeth is dead now, but when she was alive and she said that, you know, the Queen had been dead for a long time, military tribunal thing, The Hague and all that kind of nonsense. And it's the same thing, stupid thing. It doesn't make the headlines in the US, obviously, but here once in a while you see that pop up saying, oh my god, and people are just rolling their eyes. Her again.
She has done some crazy things. Like she has a massive amount of followers, so that, like, usually you see somebody like her and you laugh it off, right? You're like, well, aren't a bunch of her
followers like going to prison because like she told them not to pay taxes, and then now it's like and they just ended up taking tax evasion to such an extreme level or whatever. It's like it's turned to prison time, or am I remembering that wrong?
I don't think it's turned into prison time, because I don't think we do prison time for tax evasion up here, but it is they are not paying their bills. They're being foreclosed on in their homes, and they're not paying their electrical bills. Their electricity is being shut off, all of this stuff. And they're basically, they were promised by this Queen Dedulo that they didn't need to pay these things anymore because of this or that, whatever conspiracy was the flavor of the month. But she also convinced her followers, I think, I'm not sure if you guys saw it, in Peterborough, I think it was the beginning of the summer, what she convinced them to go down to the RCMP, the police station, and arrest the police for crimes against humanity, for pushing the vaccines. And they tried, these people, these regular citizens, tried to go down to this police station and arrest police officers.
I'm sure
and
that you can went imagine very well.
How that went down.
That sounds like a bad day for everybody. The police, the people arresting them, like, just a bad day for everybody. Jesus.
But yeah, my parents, the way that my parents got sucked into it is my parents were like hippies, right? They were hippies in the 60s and stuff like that. So they had the anti-establishment mindset, and that's how they raised me. And so they already had a distrust for government authority, all of this stuff, which I'm all for within reason, right? Like, you've got to also take into consideration the evidence. My mom got into, when she retired, she got into like the online wellness community, like natural remedies and all that stuff, pseudoscience.
Why? You guys have a good medical system. That makes no sense. Like, I get why we do it, you know?
I don't know.
But you guys have like a decent medical system. This is insane. All right, never mind. All right, sorry, go ahead.
I don't know. Well, she just didn't trust big pharma, you know? She doesn't trust that they have her best interest at heart. And I mean, There's good reason to not trust big pharma. There's good
it's
reason
fair.
For that.
Like,
yeah,
that perspective is fair. Yeah. Like, I understand where it comes from, but when you go to the extreme where, you know, you're doing things to yourself that's actually can cause harm rather than give you any sort of benefit, it gets really scary. Because I know that I've looked at some conspiracy theories just on what people do outside, like for alternative medicine and things like that. And it's very disturbing what will happen. So I'm not surprised that it started there and then it went into more extreme beliefs.
Yeah. I see it ironic because like they won't trust big pharma, but like they will trust snake oil salesmen. Like what were like during the pandemic, people were putting like fish cleaner in their system or whatever, or people drinking bleach and it's just stuff that they heard wild conspiracies on the internet. And it's like, we can't trust big pharma, but like, you know, crazy nut 275 online, he's got the cure. It's
Just to give you a quick idea, I've got an article here about the supposed Queen of Canada. Her name is Romana Didulo. She's a leading Canadian QAnon figure with an alleged history of encouraging her followers to shoot healthcare workers. And this is an article from last year at this time. She was taken into custody by the RCMP's national security team in Victoria, BC. She often refers herself as the Queen of Canada, said in a YouTube video that the RCMP integrated national security enforcement team served her with a search warrant and told her she was being detained under BC's Mental Health Act.
That's why I remember her in rest. It's
based right here in BC. She's amassed a following of more than 73,000 people on the encrypted messaging app Telegram, which she allegedly called for healthcare workers to be shot, according to the Canadian Anti-Hate Network. So this is the kind of person that we're dealing with here.
Yeah, and she has serious, serious followers. And I would say the only reason why nobody's been shot yet is because it's Canada and nobody has a gun. So,
yeah, this is in America. Everybody would just be dead. We'd just be a pile of dead bodies.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, and yeah, here's a comment from our friend, Neil, the Six of War Atheist. This woman is insane. Yeah.
Oh, hi, Neil.
Neil's always a pleasure, my friend.
Hey, love
to watch it. The thing is, what our American friends might not understand here is, of course, Canada is a different country than the U.S., but there is a lot of American media. What the hell's going on?
Wait.
Oh, that's Helen. There's like, Helen's bugging out.
You're trying like really hard right now.
Let into... Yeah.
Sorry, Helen. You're
I am. I'm trying to get this train back on track.
I thought Canada was just a big American state, like the Dakotas.
No, Canada is like America's attic. You know, it's a bit like you climb up here, you never think about it, then you climb up the attic, say, "Oh, look at all this shit is here. This is Canada." Really.
I have a rather rude expression, and that's alt-right monkey see, alt-right monkey do, because like I'll go online and I'll subscribe to like far-right American far-right groups and Canadian far-right groups, and it's about a 2 to 3 month gap. You'll see a wild conspiracy pop up on the American right wing site, and then within like 2 or 3 months, you got like a Canadian version of it, whether it's the exact same thing or slightly different. And it's just storytelling. People love a story, but they don't like questioning it.
So it's the same thing we see in atheism too, right? You have Christianity, and they take their version, right? They leave their version. Yeah. Oh yeah, God, Jesus came to Missouri as well, and then we got Mormons. You know, this is how it happens. We have the same phenomenon here.
But it's an easy trap to fall down because, like,
to adopt our ideas.
I was just saying it's an easy trap to fall down because, like, from my own experience, like Easter 2019, I went to visit my family up in Princeton, and this was like the very beginning of the pandemic, and then all of a sudden they started telling me about how I have to be very careful because they're going to be microchipping these vaccines, and the whole Bill Gates microchip type thing, and I was like, that technology does not exist. Like, do you know what's kind of battery they would have to have in a microchip to broadcast your location from like that amount of distance? It's
the fact that you're carrying a microchip around in your pocket 24/7 voluntarily.
You can hear anything anyways. So, yeah,
and
exactly.
You charge it up yourself.
But it's like,
you do it.
But it's like I'm saying to my parents, it's like, Dad, you know, you realize this is like one of these like crazy QAnon conspiracies. Like, you know, it's like it's a wedge issue that you're getting yourself sucked into, and it's just going to get crazier and crazier. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I don't know about that, but did you hear about? And then it's facts. Do some research.
Come on, Troy. We all know that JFK is just about on the verge of coming back there in Dallas, right? Isn't that what's about to happen to?
His hands out the grave and the ground, like just right now, just coming out.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me adjust my human skin here. My lizard flesh is starting to move a little bit.
I've heard some crazy, crazy theories, and the craziest part about all of it is because I'm interviewing a whole bunch of different people from all over the place, right? Yes. I've spoken to people in Germany and people all over the US and Canadians, and each of their Qs, the people who are in QAnon in their families, they all have a different take on everything, and these theories all like conflict with each other. So like there was one family that they thought that JFK Jr. was still alive and that it was only a matter of time before he was going to reinstate Trump as president. And then the next person I interviewed said that no, JFK Jr. is dead, but that Hillary Clinton killed him.
Well, of course. I mean, of course. Right?
Where Hillary Clinton is underneath the Hillary skin is JFK skin underneath the lizard skin.
Hillary is the Michael Myers.
It's an inception of lizard skins.
Yeah.
Our friend Neil just said Elvis filled my gas tank this morning as well. So there we go.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it's funny though, because like people
What is that like though?
What's that?
Oh. I was going to let Helen go, but I think she froze on us.
But what is that like? What within that group when their conspiracies contradict each other? Like they're in this conspiracy rabbit hole, and then they're arguing about with each other about the bullshit, and their bullshit doesn't match up.
It's like, funny. It's funny weird. Because they actually like. There seems to be like these tiers, I guess, of believing in QAnon, and like some of them have boundaries they won't cross, you know, like some of them are like, oh no, it's too crazy to say that JFK Jr. is still alive, or it's too crazy to say that there's lizard people or whatever, but then you have them, you know, telling their kids to inject their own urine to counteract the COVID-19 vaccine. Right. Like, like, are you listening to yourselves?
Yeah, it's almost like religion. It's almost like it doesn't matter. Far,
but you should drink urine.
Yeah.
Like, how about the vaccine? Like, that's legit.
I don't know about you guys, Courtney, maybe you'll be able to back me up on this, but I mean, since you've done interviews and all that, and you've heard all these stories, and for the most part, they're sad stories. They're really sad stories. But I find that, like we were saying, you know, there seems to be a line where this is too crazy, but they don't ever seem to analyze what they're saying like we are analyzing what they are saying, right? They'll say, for example, JFK, now not JFK Jr., JFK himself is going to come back to Dallas, not realizing that the man will be over 100 years old if that was the case, right? But they don't take that extra second to analyze it. It just seems like the emotion is all that matters. The emotion, the anger, the outrage, and that is justification for all of it.
That is exactly it. When it comes to my parents, like I know that my parents aren't the same as everybody who cling to these ideas, but when it comes to my parents, my mom, my entire life has always been obsessed with like nutrition and health in such a way of like trying to extend her life essentially. And I've always seen it as like it was so bad. Like the obsession was so bad that it like affected my life. Like I've struggled with my own weight my whole life because of the way my mom treated food and nutrition and talked about it. Right. And so now, and she's the same way now, like every year it's a new diet that she's on. It's a new section of food that she can't touch. And, you know, like there's literally a list of 5 things she'll consume. So cooking for her is impossible. But it's
like kale. She likes kale though, right?
Yeah, she likes kale. Okay. She totally likes kale. Sure. We always crack jokes at like Christmas dinner and stuff like that she just needs to go outside and gnaw on the grass.
We'll be in here eating dinner and you can eat your dinner. Okay.
But growing up with her and seeing all of this, and now that I'm in my 40s and I know a little bit more, I recognize in her this need to feel control over her own mortality. And that's what this is for her. This gives her the feeling that she has some kind of control over when she dies and how she dies and how healthy she is. And the pandemic, of course, because that was a threat to our health, kicked it into high gear. And I think that that's why she started to cling to the whole QAnon thing and all of these theories, because she needs to feel that control over her own mortality.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I think it's important to point out that it's not just theories. Like, there's merchandise, there's products, there's endorsements. Like, I was saying to Kevin right before the show, I was just catching an article of one of the QAnon leaders just got found out to be like a pedophile because I guess he launched a disinformation suit, and then during discovery they found out his background. But it all started about something about him buying like a $1.5 million home or something like that. And it was just nothing more than from the sales of selling products and taking in donations from his followers. And it's cases like you have these people, like they don't trust the government, but at the same time, they're trusting people they shouldn't be trusting in his place. And when I've talked to some of these QAnon people online, it's like you'll hear the expression, do your own research. And like, okay, well, what kind of methodology are you using for your researching? Because like anybody that's actually done proper research knows that you follow a methodology to help eliminate human error.
Well, doing your own research means that you watch this YouTube video. That's all they mean by that.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But we're trying to maximize human error. Actually, like we're trying to. Okay, well, that's how you come to conclusions.
Well, one really good example is the like. Well, here's some research for you to look at right here, and he sends me a website. It's like, wow, that's like some really wild reporting. I wonder what else these people report on. And you got to like navigate off that page, and you realize the rest of the website's blank. Like, they think they're doing research, but it's not just incredibly lazy research on their part. Even the people pushing the bogus conspiracies are really lazy because it's at least if you're going to put up a phony site with a fake story on it, at least make it look like an actual site instead of just one or two pages.
But they don't need to, Troy. That's the thing. Human species as a whole is lazy. I mean, we are maybe like the exception here. We're not going to dive, but even us, how deep do we even dive into a story? I mean, we do a bit of research here and there more than the average person, but I mean, the average Joe out there on the street?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. With me, it's, we're all guilty of falling for online hoax or whatever. But like, if you're going to base your life off of something, for me, it's like you want to make sure that you're not being defrauded. But that's just me.
It's a lot like religion, like as we were talking about earlier, where it's more about the emotion. And that's why arguing with them doesn't work, because it's you can't come at them from a rational position or a logical position, because that's not they're not interested in that.
No,
they are attached to this. I'll tell you a story. It's pretty funny that my mom, in the beginning, when we first realized that she was down the Q rabbit hole, she sent us an email and she was saying, you know, if the vaccines are safe, then why are Canadian insurance companies refusing to insure the vaccinated with life insurance? And I was like, can you give me an example of one of these companies? And she's like, yeah, Manulife. Manulife came out and said that they weren't going to give life insurance to people who've been vaccinated. And of course, my best friend in the world is like a marketing director at Manulife. So I called her and I was like, hey, Terry, tell me about this. And she's like, no, it's the exact opposite. At Manulife, they actually give you like these vitality points where if you're making healthy choices with your life, they give you these points and you get rewards with them. And the biggest amount of points that you can get is for getting the COVID vaccine. So I told my mom that, you know, and I said, you know, Carrie, my mom knows my best friend, Carrie. We grew up together. Mm-hmm. And so I told her, you know, Carrie works there. She sent me all this information.
Hold on, Courtney. I got to stop you. We're going to take a bet here, guys. What is Courtney about to say? What is her mom about to say? I am saying she's going to say that her friend Carrie's in league with Bill Gates.
She's an angel.
Controlled by the devil, of course.
Controlled by the devil. Okay. Yeah. Bill Gates, the devil. Troy, Helen?
Bill Gates is devil, or like she's just been sucked into the conspiracy. She's part of it.
I'm going to say something along the lines of like too low on the totem pole to know about what's really going on.
Okay, good. So we have like 3-4 possible answers here. Hold on, Courtney. All right. And the answer is drum roll.
Well, she didn't say any of those things. I told her. I sent her to the actual like page, the public page on the Manulife site where it's told, it like explains about these vitality points and that they encourage their insured people to get the COVID vaccine. And I asked her, I said, why do you think a life insurance company would encourage the people it's already insured to get the COVID vaccine if the COVID vaccine was going to kill them? Because then they'd have to pay out, right?
Yeah, of course.
And she immediately, she's just like, oh, well, what about this? And just completely left field. Right.
Yeah, I've seen that so many times. Right. I should have guessed it.
What about it? We forgot the what about it.
I was going to say, when I was a conspiracy theorist for, it was before QAnon was a thing, but like the Illuminati and all that stuff. And yeah, and everything, you always have a what about what, like, because in your brain, you're seeing all these, because you go anomaly hunting. You know what I mean? That's really what you're doing. You're anomaly hunting and pretending like you understand things you couldn't possibly begin to understand. And then you're just saying, oh, this doesn't add up. That doesn't add up. And so like when you're doing that, it brings you to this place where you can just always point to something else. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God. You know, I have a feeling that Corsi's mom, if she was like in a movie, she'd be like the one that hires Indiana Jones to find the Tablet of Life or something like that.
Yes, she would. No, she'd go herself. if there's one thing that my mom would do, she'd do it herself. She took me traveling around the world. She wandered Bangkok at 9 o'clock at night by herself. So,
well, yeah, of course she's going with Indiana. She doesn't want to be hanging with her.
Wow.
Now, something that I've kind of noticed, and Courtney, I was just going to ask Courtney, like something that I've always noticed is. And I've been wondering if there's a correlation. So your experience would probably be able to answer this for me. Is there a correlation between religiousness and QAnon? Because it seems like religion will groom people to just accept claims without question. And so when someone comes along with a QAnon theory and they tell them something, it's just like another testimony that they hear at church. You just automatically believe it without critique or without questioning its validity or whatever. Does religion like groom people for conspiracies at all? Or does that seem like a common denominator? Or
it absolutely does. It's weird. Every single person that I've interviewed, with the exception of I think it's every single person that I've interviewed has, like, when they go back into, I always ask them to start with their childhood so we can kind of establish what their relationship was like before, and every single one of them says that it was like evangelical Christianity or fundamentalism of some kind. The last one we talked to, which is coming out next week, is charismatic Catholic. It's all of them. But they the weirdest thing is that my parents they're atheists. They've always been atheists. They've raised us atheist. And my dad...
You're not immune as an atheist, obviously.
No, you're not. I think it comes down to several things. One is if they're missing something from their life and this is feeding that, they're going to cling to it no matter what. And then another thing is like older people seem to be susceptible to this because they didn't grow up with the internet and they grew up with, sources of news all being, they have regulation and there's journalistic standards. And so like every time you pick up a newspaper or you turn on the TV and you're watching the news, you can to a degree trust what's being told. But now anybody can look like a news site. Anybody can create a news site. Anybody can pretend to be a journalist anybody can put anything on the internet.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
We're the real journalists, by the way. Y'all. Like, we're the top dog real deal. Okay. So,
y'all know. And a quick shout out to Joseph. He's watching us from South Africa. West Africa. Courtney, I really got to commend you, like I said a bit earlier, about your interviews and what you're doing there, because they're very humane and they're bringing out the humanity and what these people are going through. I know your podcast is relatively recent. You don't have a ton of episodes under your belt at this point, but you know, it's kind of a weird question to ask, but do you have a favorite interview at this point, or a favorite moment or favorite guest or worst one maybe? Or which one really hit your heart?
Well, I do have a favorite, and I do have the one that we haven't and won't air.
Nick Fuentes, actually, it's not.
No.
We just thought he was Little Nicky. We just talked to him, called Nick Little Nicky. And it turned out he was crazy.
Not too far off, though. But the best one was episode, I believe it was episode 5. It was the one that was titled From the Michigan Militia to QAnon, and it featured Josh. Josh, like, if you listen to it, you can almost feel his anger and frustration. He was such a good speaker and was so clear with how he explained how he felt, and you could really feel he really put that across, and it was really good, really interesting interview that we did. And he's such a cool guy too. And and then the worst one was the one that we got foil hats for here. Yes, it was somebody who claimed to be XQ, and I reached out to him because he had posted on the QAnon Casualties subreddit, and I reached out to him and I was like, I would be really interested in your take on leaving QAnon and the effects that has had on your family. And he's like, okay. And so we made a time, we connected, and we got on, and he was like, it was like talking to Hunter S. Thompson. I swear to God, he's sitting there. He's got like a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And he's like, all right, here are the theories. Okay, so JFK, and he's just like crazy. And like, he's like, then he's like smoking pot with one hand and smoking a cigarette with the other one. He's like, you wouldn't even believe the connections between this and that. And I'm like,
oh no.
And then after the interview, I said to him at the end of the interview, I said, I don't know that we're going to be able to use much of this because, like, our podcast is about the effects on relationships. It's not about the theories themselves. And after that, he just like was texting me every single day and just like, when is my episode coming out? When is my episode coming out?
Dude. Oh my God.
Like, no, dude. You smoked crack and then like said a bunch of crazy shit. And then
just like, maybe we could do a live show. I could go on and on about this. And I'm like, no.
Maybe.
No. In his defense, it did affect his relationship with reality. So.
Yeah. Maybe in reality are not doing well. They're not on good terms.
Maybe you could do like a bonus episode and say, this is the effect of QAnon. This is a life. This is going to show you exactly.
Yeah, you'd be like, this is what happens. This is your brain on QAnon.
We thought about doing like putting it out for our patrons only, just a little bit of it. But it was clear to me that he was suffering from some kind of mental health issue. He was like 23 or something like that, very young. And he was definitely suffering from some kind of mental health issue. And he was talking to me about the fact that he had depression and he'd been diagnosed with mental health issues and wouldn't take the medication because, you know, big pharma, right?
Yeah. Not Nick Fuentes.
It's a tough thing, too.
Not Nick Fuentes, right?
Like, no, it was not Nick Fuentes.
He's 23. I'm just saying. Okay, all right, fine.
Was it a guy named like John Barron, and he sounded kind of like Trump? Just
he kept sending me pictures too. Like he kept sending me pictures of himself at like Q rallies, and then he sent me a picture of his face covered in blood in the hospital, and I was like, "What? Why are you sending me a picture of you in the hospital covered in blood?" And I'm like, "Did this happen at a Q rally or something like that?" And he's like, "No, I had like a seizure and I fell and smashed my head." And I was like,
"Oh God."
Yeah, just weird stuff. Weird.
I had Jewish doctors, so it's so it's irrelevant.
Friendly, you bring up a really good point about like especially with the it being in Germany and this anti-Semitism that's really the beginning of the core of what this conspiracy theory is and how it's evolved. And the people that are involved think that they're saving children from the celebrity political cabal of people drinking adrenochrome, you know? So it's very this hero complex that comes in, but also this idea of, well, I'm doing something, but they're not really doing anything because there are real children and real people mm-hmm. that are part of this sex slavery industry. And they're mm-hmm. not putting the energy there. They're putting the energy into these weird conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
I think Helen brings a great point. I mean, you have to remember that these people, whether they're believers, perpetrators, or just victims, they all come from a point of it's non-malice. There's non-malicious effects there. They're actually believing this and actually trying to save other people from what they perceive as a threat. And I think that's important. And that's one of the reasons why you can't necessarily be too short with them, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's like the guy with the who invaded the pizza shop or whatever. It's like he thought he was saving children. Like he thought he was going to be a hero, and you know, I'm sure it was a massive reality shock when he went to climb into the basement and found a broom closet. It's
there wasn't even a basement to begin with.
There wasn't a basement.
The building didn't have a basement, so he ended up like surrendering to the police or whatever. And he didn't technically hurt anybody, but at the same time, though, it's like people can become so radicalized from these conspiracies. It just goes beyond reality, beyond a healthy understanding, and people just start making some really bad, toxic choices. Unfortunately,
it's weird, like. As somebody who, like, I love my parents and they gave me an amazing life. And, but I flip flop between seeing them as victims of like propaganda and just lies. And then also, you know, like at some point you have to come to grips with the fact that like QAnon is centered around Trump, right?
Yeah.
These people worship the ground that Trump walks on. They think that he is the second coming of Christ. And they think
the mango messiah, I call him.
Yeah, they think that he's going to save all these people. And you can't separate Trump from the things that he's said and done. You can't. And they are aware. Like, my mom and my dad know that he said that, you know, you just grab women by the pussy. They know that he's said and done things that are abhorrent and inexcusable, and they're fully aware of this, and they still think that he's the one who's going to save us all from all of this stuff. They still think that he should be in power and that he should have been declared president and all of this stuff. So on the one hand, they're victims, but on the other hand, they are also aware of the fact that they are, you know, their support is for somebody who is just an inexcusably rotten human being.
I wonder if
that. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I wonder if part of it is validating stuff that they grew up with. Like for example, I remember grade four. My teacher was telling the class about how the Jews killed Jesus. It's like anti-Semitism. Racism. It's like a lot of it was so normalized back then, and what was PC then is considered racist now. So it's a case where you have these conspiracy theories that are kind of like reaffirming what they grew up with, mm-hmm. and counteracting what people have grown to understand now. And I don't know. Do you think it's like a case where they're just like clinging to old ideas, or?
No, because my parents were never like that. My parents my parents raised me. I was raised more progressive than most progressive people today are. Like, I was raised, if you look at my books back there, half of them are my dad's books about indigenous culture and indigenous history. He raised me He was a crisis counselor who worked with sex workers and like rescued them from traffickers. And he talked people off of ledges when they were suicidal. He was an addictions counselor. Like, he was constantly my entire life fighting for the little guy. And he drove it into my brother and I's head that you treat people equally and that you can't judge people by the color of their skin. And he taught us about slavery and he taught us about white privilege and he taught us about all of this stuff. And now, which makes it just so much more shocking that he adheres to all of this stuff now. Right. But I don't think that they're clinging to these old ideas, because my dad, if he truly understood the connection between what he believes now and these anti-Semitic, racist, homophobic, transphobic ideas, mm-hmm. he'd be horrified. But he's compartmentalizing it, right? Yeah. Like, it's cognitive dissonance. He's not allowing himself to see those connections, because these ideas are giving him such comfort. And I really think that for both of my parents, it's a lot of it has to do with like emptiness syndrome. Like, they just don't have anything to do with their time. And my brother and I, like, my brother doesn't live here and I'm busy a lot. So they, you know, they see us maybe once or twice a month and they just are sad and lonely. You know,
I think like our brains like want to do things that are complicated, right? Like, our brains like urge to do things that are like complex and deep. And like, when we don't have that to do, like, I work as a cleaner, like I clean stuff, right? So like, a lot of the people that I work with are all into conspiracies, and it's like they get so deep into it where it's like complicated and like deep, like they're, you know, they have all these connections, they have all these things, and it's like amazing that, you know, because they're just cleaning all day, right? And so like, but then their brain is like into this, like, really, like, they're trying to make it really complex and like deep and everything, and it is. But it's all nonsense. Mm-hmm. But yeah. The fact that they're like, their brains want to be engaged in something that's deep and complex, and they just don't have a thing to do it with.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You just, like I was saying earlier, you need to use a methodology when you're like doing research and looking into conspiracy and stuff, like conspiracies and so forth. You got to be able to look at both sides of the story and say, okay, which is most realistic? It's what could actually possibly happen.
Well, let me throw a wrench in there. Let me throw a wrench
in there. Desirability bias there too, but yeah.
Bouncing off what Troy, Brantley, and Courtney said, there's one thing that we haven't brought into the conversation here, and it's the element of the media. And what I mean by that is, we here in North America, we have a big culture of watching television, movie, and stuff like that. Have you noticed that just about every movie out there that's been like blockbuster, there's always this element of the conspiracy theorist in there that is proven right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, it could be anything from Godzilla to, you know, the
eight-legged spy. Freaks, man. The eight-legged freaks. Alex Jones character was right.
Yes. And the conspiracy theorist at first is like, he's a crank, but by the end of the movie, the conspiracy theorist is right in the movie. Yeah. Right. And I think that translates into the real world at this point, that gives, on a subconscious level, credibility to these cranks that did think out there, because we see it in Hollywood all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Illuminati literally had Mr. Fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, look at a good example of that is Angels and Demons and the Da Vinci Code. It's like that gave rise to a whole generation of people that were believing in the Illuminati and other wild stuff.
I was quoted the Godzilla movie, the Godzilla versus Kong movie that I just watched a couple of days ago for fun. There was exactly that in there. There was a podcaster that was a conspiracy theorist, and he turns out to be right all along. We see that constantly, this theme coming constantly about the guy that's going against the grain, that the government and the scientists are wrong, and you see it in Hollywood now because it sells.
Well, because it's fun. I mean, let's face it, it's fun. Like, you know, them thinking this stuff, and if they ended up to be right, that'd be an interesting thing to happen, right?
But we also
that's fascinating. We are
species of storytellers. And I think this has basically gone into the real world at this point, and now it's really muddying the waters for, we can't seem to be able to distinguish between what's real and what's not as soon as you get something like that happening all the time around you.
Yeah. It's very concerning too, because it's like I've spent a lot of time thinking about this and I cannot think of how this gets better. I mean, without us just pulling the plug on the internet altogether.
The only solution I can see is putting sorry.
Well, also, it's about, like, even if we brought critical speaking to school.
So we have this. I think we have the same thought. Pushing more.
See, like, even if we brought like
critical thinking into school. So, yeah, I think we have the same thought on this one. It is to teach critical thinking skills and better methodology for research in schools. And because right now people don't really learn that till they get to the university level. So unless you take in certain types of university courses, you don't learn that research requires methodology. You don't learn to critique and how to analyze information and how to check sources. And you don't have to do that with everything that you digest, but like I was saying earlier, the really important stuff that you're going to base your life on, you got to be more critical of it. And
if you talk about a kid that's high school age or even younger, the blockbuster movie is going to have much more of an impact on his or her life than the critical thinking course, which he or she is not even into yet until they get into higher education. So yeah, there's really, and of course, most of these opinions are formed, especially when you're younger.
I mean, there should be some kind of like thing in your head that's like, okay, this is a movie and this is real life, and these two things are fucking different, you know. Like, it also be some type of distinction. So
it's not the, it's not the, like I thought that too, but my parents, my dad is a psychologist with a degree from a prestigious Canadian university, SFU, and my mom has a degree. In a master's degree with a major in mathematics from UBC. So they, and my dad brought my brother and I up our whole lives, pounding into our head critical thought. And he didn't fall for anything. He'd never falled for anything. I remember one time, I wrote about this on my blog, actually. It's a funny post, but there was this one time when, because I grew up in Vancouver, and in Vancouver, there was always these scientists who were predicting the next big earthquake. Mm-hmm. There was one time I was 13 years old, we were sitting at the table, and we heard it on the news, and I just freaked out, right? Because I'm 13, and I'm just like, drama queen, so... I freaked out and I'm like, did you guys hear what he just said? There's going to be a huge earthquake tomorrow. And so my brother, my mom and I, we all like stayed home and prepared for it with like cans of food and bottles of water and stuff like that. And my dad the whole time was sitting downstairs playing Super Mario Brothers, and he was yelling about how it was a bunch of horseshit and that there wasn't going to be an earthquake. Like, this is who my dad was. He was a skeptic extraordinaire. That's where I get it from. And now he's in the Q rabbit hole. So I don't even think that teaching critical thought is the answer. I think the answer, if you want, mental health services, I think, is the answer, because I think that, like I said, every single person that I've interviewed, every single cue that I've come across or heard about, there's something wrong. There's something that they are replacing with these theories.
And it's a crutch, man. Like, it really is a crutch. I don't know. I feel like it's the same way that well, religious people like turn to drugs so quick.
Pardon?
Religious people tend to, like, when you get out, like, you're like mad at your religious group or whatever, like you leave from it, you get into drugs so quickly because, like, they're all like, it's a crutch, they're looking for another crutch. And you know, so they all end up being like, you know, okay, now I'm stuck on Xanax or whatever the fuck, you know, like, it's just, it's, you know, it's like they're looking for, going from one crutch to the next.
And just to clarify, when Courtney said her father was studying at SFU, that's not shut the fuck up, okay? That's like South Fraser University, for people that don't know.
Oh, okay.
So one of the first things that I think is, like, if that's what the issue is, then it's there should be certain personality types that are most easily susceptible to, like, QAnon, like what kind of personality types are, like, at highest risk of, like, falling for the wedge issues or with the wedge conspiracies, or like narcissists is probably an obvious one, but not there's more than just narcissists into the movement. So
I would think it's people who, I don't know, people who, like, desire control, who, yeah, like, control freaks. I think it's people who need to feel like they have some kind of control. Because, okay, think about it this way. A pandemic, for instance, is terrifying. When you look at the reality of a pandemic, not the conspiracy theories, not when you look at the reality of the pandemic and what it means that we are nothing and we can be wiped out with a microscopic bug if we're not careful. We are so, like, life is fragile, essentially, is what it is. And we have no control. The fact that we're here right now is amazing, and that we've survived this long is amazing, and that's what essentially it comes down to, is that it's terrifying. And when the pandemic hit, it was so scary to people like this that they sought out some way to feel like they had control again. And I think that's what this is really providing for them. I think it's for people who need to feel like they're in control. And that's the same thing with religion, right? Because as atheists, we all look at life and we realize it ends. It's finite. And we are nothing. In the grand scheme of things, we're just a little speck and we don't really matter. And and we're okay with that, but most people aren't. Most people are not okay with looking at things that way.
And you have to get okay with it. Like, it takes some, like, practice to get okay with it, you know? Because at first you're not.
Yeah, right?
Work. You know, it takes a minute, you know? And you just get used to it. You're like, oh, yeah, because I'm not in control of fucking anything.
Yeah.
You know, I like to feel like I'm at least in control of a little bit. But even that, you know that, like, oh, that could not happen tomorrow. Like, I could not be in control of that shit tomorrow. Well, you know, and it's hard. It takes a minute.
Well, think to yourself, mortals, and once a mothership arrives,
and also too, like, as you're saying, like, it's not so much the religion mindset; it's the lack of control. Because I know plenty of religious people that think QAnon is bullshit, and they think it's ridiculous, which I find ironic, since they believe in the zombie that rose from the dead 3 days later, but okay,
and a donkey talk, so by the way, a donkey talk.
You know, but I think it is that I have a donkey talk too, yeah. But this idea of, like, I have secret knowledge, I'm putting these connections together, and you feel like you're contributing to something on top of your secret knowledge and on top of this idea that, you know, because, yes, I'm not saying the government is a good thing. I have issues with my government. I have a lot of issues with my government, but I don't need to add more layers to that to be that of my government that it goes to satanic cabal. I just go, it's full of people, and people get corrupt and turn into assholes.
DeSantis and DeSantis and Matt Gaetz are actually alien creatures controlling everything.
Listen, if I found out that Ron DeSantis was a lizard person, I'd be like, that checks out.
I'd have no argument.
A Patreon goal. I think we should have a transvestite or a crossdresser that goes to Florida, a drag queen, and calls herself Rhonda Santis. And
that's what my husband came up with. Rhonda DeSantis. DeSantis. That's what my husband came up with. The same thing.
Brittany, thank you so much for being on the show today. That was great. What's coming up for a Q drop?
Well, on this Tuesday, we have a special episode coming up with a couple of stories that were mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing, but that the people didn't want to do an interview with. But because the stories were already public on QAnon Casualties, we're just going to read out their stories in their own words. So we're going to tell those stories this Tuesday, and then the following Tuesday we have our first religious person who is still religious, and she is a woman of color who had to divorce her husband of 9 years. No, that's a different one. No, this is a woman of color whose mother, who has been sending her, she's half black, and her white mother has been sending her racist content. God.
No, that is so bad.
Yeah. Does she like just not realize as racist or?
Dude, like
I don't know,
because I know my grandmother is like my grandmother was always like, I'm not racist, I just think those people should keep to themselves. I was like, that's racist, grandma.
it's so funny, like when you get the sweetest people, and like I'm in an interracial relationship with my partner, and like when people talk to you and they're just like, oh yeah, but I think, and they're like, but, and then they go into this fucking thing and you're just like, oh my God, no, just stop. Yeah,
I know.
Don't even stop. Don't with, but it's like, yeah, they want to tell you they're fucking bullshit. Cause they're like, it'll get to her and then she'll change the whole race. You know,
as a very, very pasty white person, I find myself often in situations where other white people think that it's safe to start unloading their racist bullshit with me.
You know,
and I
that is the worst.
I was at the animal shelter adopting my kitten, and this woman is talking to another one of the workers there, and they're like, well, I have a Siamese cat, which are adorable, but the Siam people, you know, not so much. And I was like, standing because we're all what white people. And I'm like, whoa, lady.
Wow. And the king happened there around here?
I my parents would deny it, but I was raised pretty racist. and I didn't realize how racist I was raised until I'm like 14 years old. We moved across Canada. I'm in a Max convenience store, and then I see Licorice Babies. And of course, I don't use the name Licorice Babies. I use the old term that you do not use anymore. Oh. And the entire store was flabbergasted. And I had no idea why. It's like, well, doesn't that word just mean black? And it's like, well, technically, but you don't say it.
I remember having this square little book of illustration, and the story was 10 little N-word. You know, and that was a little illustrated book, you know, like 10 little N word went to the market. One got eaten by a crocodile. 9 little N went to the.
Yeah, like, a similar story. Grade one, we're looking through a book in school, and it has nursery rhymes in it. And it has eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a blank by the toe. Yeah, and I here's this nice little Aryan boy grabbing a black boy by the toe. And it's just like, okay, so that was my upbringing.
That's so awful.
Yeah,
so terrible.
Yeah, the book ended up getting removed we knew that was like it was kind of messed up. So I was like showing friends, and eventually a teacher caught me showing friends. It's like, what the heck is that? I thought it was tiger. That's not a tiger.
That's what I thought too. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I was taught. Tiger.
That's what I was taught. That was not a nursery rhyme I learned.
Later, I found out it started that way. But
Courtney, thank you so much for being on the show. If people want to find out more about Q Drop and they want to get a hold of you, where can they find you?
You can find Q Dropped on any platform, any podcast platform. Just search Q-Dropped Podcast and you'll find us. And we are also on YouTube. Again, just search the Q Dropped Podcast. And we have a website which features some extras, So that's porthosmedia.net/Q-dropped. And yes, that is my media company named for Archer's dog on Enterprise.
And Gordon, you dropped. Past tense.
Gordon, you're part of the family as well, as far as we're concerned. But before I let you go, I got to have you say, hi, my name is Courtney Hurd of the Q-Drop Podcast, and I took a left of the valley.
Hi, my name is Courtney Hurd of the Q-Drop Podcast, and I just took a left at the valley.
Well, what do you think? I want to thank Courtney Hurd for being our guest today on the show of the Q-Drop Podcast. Make sure to watch or to listen to her show. Catch her wherever you find podcasts anywhere. I want to thank Troy, Helen, and Brent Lee of us, my co-hosts. And I want to thank you for listening. You can find us anywhere you look for Left at the Valley. You can go on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and you'll find us there. We had a website, leftatthevalley.ca. We're in the process of getting that back. It was kind of stolen from us for a little while, so be patient, but we'll have our website back. Give us a 5-star review wherever you find us. It helps us and helps others find the show. And you also can become a patron and get an unedited, raw version of the show. Go to patreon.com/LETV. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Until next time. Atheist.